Let me just get a quick response now. How many of you yesterday celebrated St. Patrick's Day? I'm always amazed how many people are celebrating St. Patrick's Day. How many of you are Irish? So St. Patrick's Day gets all the attention and all the acclaim, and that's fine, but you know, it's not like St. Olaf's Day, or it's not like St. Erho's Day. But O'Shaughnessy, a young man who lived in a small town in Ireland, he went out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the local pub just around the corner from the house where he lived with his mother. And so he celebrated with all his friends with much cheer and great deal of fun. And it got later and later and later, and he decided he had better get home. So he went to stand up from the bar stool, and he just fell flat on his face. So he was concerned. He didn't realize perhaps that he had drank that much, and so he might need some fresh air. So he kind of dragged himself outside, and so he sat there for a while and pulled himself up along the wall of the pub and took a step forward and fell flat on his face. Says, well, I have to get home, he thought to himself. So he dragged himself down the street and around the corner, got through the door of his house, and crawled into bed and promptly fell asleep. Late the next day, he was woken by his mother. He said, you had a pretty wild late night, huh? He looked at her all innocently, you know, what makes you say that? She said, well, the pub just called, and once again, you left your wheelchair. So maybe you didn't celebrate to that extent. But it is one of those things that does tend to attract people from all nationalities just to be part of the celebration. And I think of that when I look at John's Gospel reading, because the celebration that he writes of is taking place in Jerusalem, for it's the time of the Passover festival. The Passover festival was a time of great anticipation for the people of Israel. Not only did they celebrate God's intervention for the people when they were enslaved in Egypt and were led from Egypt by Moses through the wilderness, but also anticipation that God would act again. God would intervene once again. And of course, at the time of Jesus, the people of Israel lived under Roman oppression. And so millions of people gathered in Jerusalem during the Passover event. And they prayed, anticipating and expecting God to act once again. And not surprisingly then, it attracted people from all around the region and other parts of the world. And we are told in John's Gospel that indeed there were some Greeks. I kind of wonder why they are singled out. Why are they mentioned? The Greeks of the day were known to travel far and wide. They were people who participated in trade and commerce. But more so, they were known for their wandering. They were seekers. They were always looking, asking questions. They were inquisitive, and even more important, open-minded. They had a desire to learn and to grow. So they must have known some of Jesus as they come and ask to see Him. Perhaps wanting to know more about Jesus' message of God. Of how to look at God and recognize God through the eyes of Jesus. A God who truly doesn't change. An Irishman was having a discussion with his friend, and they were talking about their marriages, and he shared with his friend that once again he and his wife had another spat. He says, but this one turned out differently. He said, she came to me on her hands and knees. His friend was surprised by this, about this switch in behavior. What did she say? He asked. She said, get out from under that bed, you gutless weasel. So when you look at that particular relationship, there really was no change, no matter how you tried to look at it. But they come to seek Jesus, a God who has not changed, but through Jesus, perhaps the view of God has changed. The words of Jesus are what His followers would expect, what they would want to hear. For Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Those who hear Him would understand that, yes, God will intervene, much as He had in Egypt. The Son of Man is understood to be an invincible and undefeatable world conqueror sent by God. And more so would inflict cruelty upon His enemies. And the Son of Man would be glorified by the campaign and by the completion of His conquests, would be glorified by His victories. And He would exercise dominion. It's what the people would want to hear. So pause for a moment and reflect in understanding that statement and how they would respond to that. And then realizing that Jesus was not and would not be what was expected. For Jesus, the coming of the Son of Man was one who is humane and gentle and gracious. He is depicted as one with humanity. And even more so, the one willing to sacrifice Himself, to spend all that He has to give, to empty Himself. And with that, the dramatic revelations of what would follow. The imagery that Jesus uses of that which dies then bears much fruit. From one seed comes a great abundance. From that abundance, that fruit, where personal and worldly aims and ambitions are to be set aside. From that abundance are those who will come and follow and serve and do so for the benefits, not of themselves, but for others. I am to be lifted up, Jesus says, and I will then draw all people to Myself. The Greeks come to see Jesus. But yet to know Jesus is to see Jesus crucified. That is who they must see. To witness the sacrificial love of Jesus. That is what draws us to this powerful message, draws us to this fellowship, draws us to this idea of new life, a new opportunity, a new creation. Come and to see Jesus and to see what looks like a tragedy, but will be a triumph. And they come to see with an openness of mind of the possibilities that may take place. Some 40 or so years ago now, I used to go and visit Allison at her home in Tacoma. And so in the evenings, we would go down and into her basement there at her home, and we'd visit. She shared with me one day, her father said to her, why does he come and why does he always stay so late? And she says, well, he's always visiting and talking and he's sharing all that is in his heart. And her father said, well, next time, have him share all that's in his mind. It'll only take a minute. Think of what it means for a moment to be in the position of the Greeks, to be of open mind, of expanding one's mind and understandings. I'm not Greek. However, my sister did a DNA, one of those ancestry tests. And so, without great surprise, it came back that we were largely Finnish and Northern Russian, and also a large part Scandinavian, but also 14% Irish. So that's certainly enough to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I would think. Maybe even enough to make fun of the Irish. But I'm not Greek. Many of us aren't. But that doesn't keep us from being seekers. Wanderers. Those who want to experience more. Open to journeys and challenges and greater understanding. And with that, a transformation coming over us. Change that comes upon us as we truly see Jesus and experience God's love. A love that we are told then is now etched on our hearts. A love that is embedded within us. A love then that is to be lived out. Amen.